These things which I'm going to give to you, each one is a therapy, and they all add up more or less to the basic therapies. You can integrate these things against what you already know. There's nothing new, strange, or different going to happen with regard to this. But all of a sudden, because we put the data in this fashion, we may have a couple of electric light bulbs turning on between the ears here and there. And if any cases are stalled down, they're stalled because this material hasn't been added up by you. Here's the therapy. You run the PC's attitude toward ARC in terms of brackets. His attitude toward ARC in brackets. But self, others, others for others, you know, brackets. Now get this little bomb that hasn't occurred to you, I'm sure. Otherwise you wouldn't keep telling me that somebody's perceptions are still dim. Communications, the Dianetic definition of communications is not talk and is not thought. You remember last Friday, I told you very definitely, try to do this idiocy. Communicate logically. Oh, no, you don't. You cannot communicate logically. To get any kind of logic, you have to throw in affinity, and you have to throw in agreement, and you have to recombine these factors and so forth. Well, somebody's perceptions are down. Remember that communication is perception. Communication is perception. To hell with talk. To hell with communication of a whole thought. With this goes, thought is secondary to action. Action is primary. Thought is secondary. In the messed universe, there is prime thought, and after that, thought trails. If you've read the axioms, you've seen this. Thought trails as an aberration following effort and counter-effort. After prime thought, that one moment of prime decision of beingness, after that, received efforts, or that is say counter-efforts, precede having an effort. You get counter-effort, and then you use that as an effort, you see? And every thought is preceded by an effort. Nothing has changed in that sense, APNA. And it's time we all got it and parked it and said, look. Because what we're talking about is action when we're talking about effort. And action is on a primary level, and understanding is on a secondary level. It is better to hit somebody in the jaw. You have carried your complete argument by hitting somebody in the jaw in favor of talking about hitting somebody in the jaw. It is better to go for a ride on a motorbike than to talk or think about going for a ride on a motorbike. It is better to address spheres of action on a case and in facsimiles than it is to address thoughts concerning the action. As you get and run concepts, you will find that what you're unburdening is concept of action. And where you get really vital results, you've got concept of action. At no time has Dianetics or Scientology lightened up this fact that it takes physical force sufficient to produce pain and unconsciousness in order to lay an aberration into a being. At no time have we lessened that concept. And you can go ahead and unburden and unburden and unburden. And when you get through unburdening, that is just making available to you what? Action. Pain. Perception. On an action level. Actual action. Action is something taking place with regard to heady flows. When you've got agreement, agreement can be a flow, but no agreement is aberrated unless it's agreement of a flow which overcomes the ability to absorb of the individual Anything which overcomes his ability to absorb renders him painfully unconscious. You get this. Nobody's shifted on these points. You can get into the esoteric side of it. It's very, very nice to have this feeling about something, this concept about something, and fool around with it and monkey around with it and monkey around with it. But boy, there is just nothing, just absolutely nothing, which can approach getting the incidence of Yagini off the case. The kick out of the ridges which causes pain to the preclear. Because it's that threat of pain which cuts down his ability to act. And you, if you want to create a healthy being, are not trying to create somebody who can sit with his legs crossed and regard his navel for 10,000 years. You will not get a healthy being who has as his goal a nirvana that is going to just drift and flow out through the universes as part of the allness of all. And let's all go lie down and be dead and be mystic and be a lot of other things. You're not going to get healthy beings. They aren't healthy. They're sick. And a man is as sick as he will not act. That makes sense to you, doesn't it? He's as sick as he won't act. And he's as mediumly sick as he'll think about it. His feeling about action should be such that his computation is taken for granted and the action is sure, competent, and certain. He says to himself, act, and he acts. And he acts with good sense, with a good estimation of effort, with good placement of his force, and so on. He acts. Now, I get that as a primary consideration. He doesn't sit around and say, let's see, what am I going to do, let's see, and James Joyce writes stimulus response mechanisms, which are all stream of consciousness, and this was going, we're going to think about this for a long time. Think twice before speaking once. Think six times before speaking once. Never act, just think, just think. Just consider, let's dream away. And pretty soon, why, all is really in a hell of a mess. Act. Now, you want to know how to diagnose preclear? Find out where he can't act. You can find out where he can't act, you know what to process. You've got dozens of ways of processing that. And I'll give you another summary of this processing of it today. Now, get this about communications. Communication is action. Actually, of a sort. It's action. Communication is wave action. It is waves. They go to and go from. There's one thing, the guy gets into a terrifically secondary state where he's got to register everything on a facsimile, a ridge, and then he can perceive the facsimile or ridge. That's using a facsimile instead of real life. He takes everything and puts it on the facsimile, and then he finds out that didn't kill him, so he examines the facsimile. And they say, well, what do you know? That's what happened. He's only several seconds behind present time. He's only your standard Homo sapiens. Why do you think they use eyesight? They use eyesight so it'll come back and they'll hit a ridge and then they examine the ridge so they don't have a nice, solid, direct connection with action. No, they don't want any connection with energy. No, they don't want anything to do with energy. Oh, that'd be bad. No, we'll take this old, moldy, rotten, second-hand energy, and that's safe. That isn't going to bite us. Where'd they get the idea anything could bite them in the first place? That's what you've got to solve. See how it is? That's why they use the messed universe perception mechanisms of sight, sound, hearing, and so forth. These things go in and register on little ridges, and then they look at the ridge. Isn't that cute? And you say, I wonder why this guy can't see the walls and see the street and smell a cigarette a block away and so forth with theta perception. I wonder why he can't do this. It's because he's playing safe. He is considering it. How do you consider and think about it? You take facsimiles and juggle them. You just take lots of facsimiles and you fool around all these facsimiles. Well, the meshed universe body registers in terms of facsimiles. And the Thetan then reads the facsimiles. And that is your relay circuit of perception. Now, all of a sudden, you ask this fellow, perceive directly. No, he can't do that. That'd put him right straight in contact with action. And he can't have that. He'll go earlier in time or later than time or make up his own time or do something or other, anything but perceive the mass universe in terms of action. Now, I think perhaps maybe you see what's wrong with some of your preclears. They're translating everything over into, let's examine the facsimile, and so on. You do that long enough, you go psycho. How can the fellow generate anything of the sort if everything that happens in his vicinity has to first come to him on such a relay system? It is a foregone conclusion that anybody who will use this mechanism of relayed communication will go crazy. I mean that literally. Sooner or later in some life or other, he's going to spring his lid. Because his energy's going to get less and less and less. Now there's this other thing, is this terrific response of let's make it automatic. This don't keep running it because we're not able to keep in contact with that many things. You can only do one thing at a time. Everybody knows this, you know. I mean, we've got to concentrate on it. So the best thing to do is to start something running and thereafter let it run automatically. Set everything up so it runs automatically. That is the laziest and most aberrative trick a man can do. There is no reason why you couldn't manufacture six separate beings and put them out to doing six separate things and do every thought for them, every perception for them, every record for them, and direct them simultaneously. There's no reason why that can't be done. It seems impossible to you, perhaps, but it's not impossible. It's just a little bit more difficult than setting it all up automatically. You're going to get, as you do illusion processing, you're going to find your preclears continually talking about he's going to make a machine which is then and thereafter going to do so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. He says what it's going to do, and then that thing goes on running and does it. He sort of sits back and watches the cinema. You know, there is this. Now, this is your second part of this. Is communication an attitude toward the feelings of others, an attitude toward the sight of others, an attitude toward the ability to hear of others, an attitude toward the ability to feel pain of others? In other words, a direct attitude toward their communication suppresses your preclear's communication because you're suppressing it across all eight dynamics. When you're suppressing it across one. So you find this fellow is very, very sympathetic. Because the Iceman can't taste any food.
Poor fellow, he can't taste it.
He's in direct communication with an inability to perceive. Don't you think for a moment that doesn't have a tremendous effect upon his own desire to perceive or not to perceive. It does have. You get that? Communication is sense perception. And it can be in terms of registered on a facsimile and then read the facsimile. That's what you're doing with the mass body. Or it can be in direct terms. To rehabilitate communication is what all of you are struggling with right now. You're struggling mightily with that because what are you doing to verify anything? You're doing a communication verification.
You're going to say, am I really out of my body?
If I'm really out of my body, well, I should be able to cross the street and read that sign. No, if you're consistently and continually making a facsimile of a sign with your eyes and then reading the facsimile of the sign, you spring a fellow out so he hasn't any mechanism for making facsimiles yet. The photons coming off of the sign aren't going to register on anything. In order to perceive that thing, he's going to have to throw out a beam himself and get the radar kickback of it. In other words, it requires action. And as long as he feels down in the mouth about his own perceptions, the perceptions of others, and the perceptions of others for others, you're not going to get him in a direct communication with anything. Now get that. Communication is action. You want to rehabilitate communication? All it is really is a little flag sitting up there saying, this man won't act. When you say, this won't perceive, this man won't act. In some line, he won't act. You find that line, he won't act. Now, you'll know much more about this in just a moment if you haven't got it there. as an open and shut case. Now, we'll take illusion processing. Illusion processing is tremendously interesting. But it has two things that you must inhibit in the preclear. It is better for a man to turn on a little white cube, which he moves a foot in an illusion, than to turn on a tremendous quantity of automatic machinery, tremendous quantity of things which he starts out in motion, so forth. You pin him down and make his illusion act by direct knowingness that he is making it act. You get him in a state of making him know he's making the illusion take place and act. And you get it into its simple forms, and you'll all of a sudden find him quite ordinarily having a hell of a struggle. Whereas before he had dancing girls pirouetting all over the floor and the ceilings and running every place, and all of a sudden you say, now take a little white cube and put it on the table in front of you. Now hold it there. Strain. Gee, you say that. That's really tough. Sure, because the first time he was really going in for it, before he was perfectly willing to say an illusion, let's see, I'll take 50%, 75% stimulus response mechanism, and that'll get suggested to me on a stimulus response basis, and then I'll let all this thing run off on an automatic basis. That's a hell of a state of affairs, if you want to ask my opinion. Now, this is something you ought to put down in your book. In illusion processing, you have two absolutes. You are trying to approach. Absolutes are unobtainable, you know, in the axioms. There are two absolutes you're trying to approach. And they're equally important. And one is no motion, and the other is all motion. And theoretically only, that man who can perceive complete no motion could cause a collapse of this entire universe. Theoretically only. But that's how I just say that, just to make you drive it home in its importance level. The conception of no motion. The preclear wants to get in, he wants to get this motion, that motion, so forth, and you say, let's conceive some no motion. Why? That's theta itself. You're making him go way, 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 way up tone scale. You're making him reach for the clouds. You have to be able to get a mock-up on the dichotomy of all action and no action. So get that as a goal in your illusion processing. You can actually make a preclear sit around for days and days and days trying to hold a simple white disc 2 feet below his feet. Right. Perceive it. And then make him put a taste to it so he can taste it. And then make him put some sound in it. So it's completely motionless. And he said, but there is no sound in it. All right, you say, conceive complete silence. You're just asking one of the hardest things there is for him to do. See, he's actually shying away from theta, and he's been diving into the mesh universe and diving into the mesh universe, more action of the all action character. And he keeps shooting away from no action, no action, no action. He's afraid of no action. He's afraid of no action because that's death. And you start to make him go in toward no action, and he'll say, oh, no, 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 no. Because the worst incidents on anywhere on the track are no action incidents. And that's why they're in restimulation. This man has got to be able to get no action and all action. You mark that down on illusion processing. Now, a thetan, this is another subject here, a thetan can get so bad after a while that the mere sight of a body makes him feel fixed in a head. A thetan can be so bad off, he can have been yanked by a collapsing tractor into transfers so often into a head that he eventually actually only has to perceive a head to feel fixed in his own head. Actually, this is one of the therapeutic reasons behind the 14-day silence that the Hindu claims he goes into once in a while. If you were to take your preclear and let him go out in the mountains by himself, for 14 days without seeing another human being, two things would happen. His environment's changed, so his stimulus response mechanism settled out, and he's not seeing any heads. And some of the darndest things would happen. If anyone here, that very two or three, or have not been able to skid out, were, if any one of these was to go over and sit on a deserted stretch of beach for 14 days, he'd be out. Not out of his head, he would have removed himself from the skull. Knowing what he knows right now, he's actually, to some degree, being pinned there simply by seeing heads. He knows all these heads are around. That's upsetting as hell. There's the auditor. The auditor's got a head. Very interesting. Another thing is some of the people you'll find stuck on the track will actually be stuck in something other than the Homo sapiens. They'll be stuck in the most unlikely things. And when they spring out, they'll sometimes get a perception of the earlier body that they think they're still stuck in. They get a facsimile of it, and it'll scare them half out of a year's growth, and they're liable to snap back in again. Just remove them from that other body first. They're liable to be in a bird or a wolf or anything. Maybe they were fooling around with dogs, and they move out, and all of a sudden they're, oh, a Great Dane. The guy says, I'm not a Great Dane. Every time I put out this tractor beam, I've got paw out here. One day he was playing around with his Great Dane. He thought that'd be very lot of fun to have this Great Dane go up and bite somebody. He made the Great Dane walk up toward and bite somebody. And just as the Great Dane was about to bite, this other fellow fired a .38 caliber Webley into the Great Dane's skull or something. You see? Snap! There he is in a dead Great Dane. In a lot of pain, and then he has to struggle to get out of the dead Great Dane. And after that, he decides he couldn't get out of the dead Great Dane anyhow, and he might have spent years and years and years hanging around this dead body. Because it was so unexpected and something that would never happen to him. He would never get pulled into a dog. Only he did. You'll find people have been pulled into horses. You find some fellow in battle, and he'll start running this past death in battle on you. He's running this past death in battle. I go up, and all of a sudden, here's this. I'm a footman, and I'm a something or other. I'm running alongside of this guy's stirrup, and all of a sudden, there's a great big horse, and he all of a sudden rears up. You say, well, the facsimile's gone now. You say, what's your busy? Oh, it just went black. You say, well, it's running. Well, you can go back and run through decisions to turn off his sight or decide not to see the battle. Oh, more darn things. What did you get? He was so anxious to prevent this horse from coming down on him that he actually instinctively set up some kind of a beam mechanism to say to the horse, rear backwards. And the horse didn't rear backwards. The horse kept right on coming down, but at the same time, maybe the knight, who's be one of these weird little accidents that you run into once in a while, but out of a trillion years, you'll get two or three of these. And he'll be right alongside the guy's stirrup, and at that moment, the knight decided to do something about this horse that was about to come down. So, crash! A two-handed sword goes through the horse's brain. He comes down on the guy, all right. And as a Thetan, he winds up in a horse, gets the death struggles of the horse. You're not running all of a sudden the death struggles of a man. It's very puzzling to a preclear. All it is a double transfer. So you want to look for something like that as occurring. It won't happen very often, but once in a while, one of these rough cases that's very hard to solve will come up with some weird, weird thing and being solved like that. But remember that you're dealing with a finite number of factors, so you can ask them about these factors. And one of the first things you should ask them is, whose head are you stuck in? And he'll say, mine. What did you just about say? Well, that's not possible. I'm stuck in my father's head. Something of this sort. He's just all in a fog all of a sudden. You don't have to worry about that too much, but that's a point I bring up. What's more important than that is that Dayton can get so bad after a while that the mere sight of a body makes him feel fixed in a head. He'll do all sorts of things to avoid it. Do all sorts of things. Now let's cover the next section of this. Illusion. Reality. Delusion. Give you definitions for these things that are very, very, very precise definitions, and they may vary a little bit from the dictionary definition, but for your action and my action, let's use these. Illusion. That which one locates himself in time and space on his own determinism. Could say that energy and form which one locates himself in time and space on his own determinism. We'll call that an illusion. We might as well call it a wump or something. Reality is that agreement upon illusion which became messed universe. A lot of people had illusions. And they eventually agreed upon these illusions, evidently, and we finally got the messed universe as a result thereof. Now, delusion, things not of one's own creation or of the messed universe, which locate one in time and space. Now, if you want to be very factual about that, just say it's other people's illusions. And that, to anybody, is a delusion. If we're talking about the messed universe, in other words, we're on good, safe ground. We've already agreed on the messed universe, and all we've got to do is backtrack against all the contracts we made with all people, and we had a messed universe, and we know what's real. The messed universe is real. We have a concourse here. We can act here. This is an action field. This is the playing fields of Eden or something. This is the messed universe. We are in agreement here, and we can win or lose here on our actions because we can get together. It's no trick to go fighting some army and then have somebody suddenly say after you fought the whole battle, saying, the battle is day after tomorrow. And have it stick. That's a heck of a note. So to get around that sort of an upset, we agreed on this messed universe, and we got it, and it's a nice universe. Nothing wrong with it. Delusion, well, this is somebody else's illusion. Call it that. Actually, it says here, things not of one's own creation or of the messed universe which locate one in time and space. That would be energies and matter. Not of one's own creation or of the messed universe which locate one in time and space. I'll have to think about that for a little while because people have been selling you delusions in the form of messed universe for a long time. Let's take the whole field of the mind. Everybody was saying, well, you see, it's on account of the neurons which go snap, snap on synapses, and that is the reason the you feel eight dictionaries, and that's all God, and it's bunk. The whole thing is a complete delusion. I didn't agree on it, and you did, but a lot of authorities got around, and they agreed on it amongst themselves, and they didn't even know it was their own illusion. You talk about hope. How bad off can a guy get? Have an illusion and not know it's his illusion. And then try to sell it to everybody as a delusion. Now, a guy can really be bad off. And that's how bad off the whole field of the human mind was. But we could do this. That's why science is something. I mean now physics and chemistry, biology is something that we can just relax about. It's such a relief to study these things. It's so nice. Why? Because there's something there, you see. I mean, it's not a delusion. You had your share in agreeing on this, and as so many agreements have gone into this that you have something which is following a law of agreement, the laws of inevitable average or something of the sort, and you're actually following something on which there is a pattern of law. There is a pattern of logic. It is discoverable. These things go on and on and on the logic patterns. So it's a great relief to study something like that. But just start studying somebody else's delusion sometime, and you're going to have a picnic. Did you like literature as a school subject? Well, there we're into the field of art. Somebody says,
Well, I think that Shelley had such sensitivity, and feeling, and now memorize Shelley. In the first place, you're being asked to swallow, against your own determinism, the series of delusions, which were Shelley's illusions. And then you were being handed out the bunk that there's actually a decided upon opinion with regard to Shelley, and there's not. You can go from person to person to person, even the authorities, and they all disagree one with another. So that isn't decided upon. And you can get mired into that and bogged down into that until at last you're practically dead. What on earth? So we get the field of art. We get the field of what was laughingly called the humanities. You get the studies of the mind. You get studies of physical structure when nobody knew anything about the electronics of physical structure. And you get these absurdities with these tremendous, great big volumes that people keep putting out on it full of words. You memorize these enormous vocabularies. And they all say, we're going to flunk you, and that's going to make you in bad with your friends and your mother and father and all your classmates and so forth, unless you swallow this and agree this is true. And you say, not true. Not true. Of course, when you get out of kindergarten, you've stopped saying that. And when you get out of the first grade, you're really cured. After that, when they say, put a fire engine in the beauty shop, you put a fire engine in the beauty shop. One of my Hollywood friends, his method of describing his compliance with producers, when I tell him to put a fire engine in the beauty shop, he puts one. He stopped arguing a long time ago. And so enough with a student studying in the field of the humanities. But you're being made to agree upon a delusion. If you want to know why people go downhill in terms of action through study, look at through study of delusion. On our definition here of delusion. Now, I'm not saying every authority in the world who has ever had an opinion was dealing in something which you would consider an insane delusion. Every guy's perfectly entitled to his opinion. But when it gets down to the mass universe, what we're studying is a series of agreements. A big, long series of agreements that have been in existence for trillions and trillions of years. And they're in natural shape, they're in natural law, we've agreed upon, and we can go out, and person after person after person after person is found who has agreed upon these things, and so on. So that's what we call reality. Now let's take illusion. Illusion is creating energy, time, and space. In energy, in your own time and space, your own things. They don't have to agree with anybody. So, when we get an illusion, when we're dealing with an illusion, we are dealing with our own concepts. Now, occasionally, we've tried to palm these things off on somebody and said, this is our own illusion, and it's absolutely true. And we knew we were pretending, and we did it. And we went on doing it, and we went on doing it, and we went on doing it, and all of a sudden, we wound up in very bad shape because we believed that our own illusion belonged to somebody else and was probably part of the mass universe. What do we get out of all this? We don't get just a lot of words from me this afternoon. We get something that's very, very finite, very, very sharp in its definitions. And that's the three certainties. The three certainties. You got to prove it works. Overt act. I got it. Thanks. Thanks, Rick. Got three certainties. And any time you find a person who is confused or upset or bad off, you'll find them more than averagely upset about one of these certainties. Instead of three certainties, he's writing on three maybes. You see how that is? He's got three maybes. Instead of three certainties. Now, there's no such thing as an absolute certainty. Absolutes are unobtainable. Even in the mesh universe, absolutes are unobtainable. But we can sure ride way up the scale on certainties. If you were absolutely certain that what you had been taught about the humanities was bunk, you would go up tone scale. Points. You would just get that certainty all of a sudden. Boom. If you became completely certain that some of the things that you were carrying with you now originated as your own illusions, you know, this, by the way, you see in processings, when did you decide to be sick? the things that you're, some of the things that you're carrying now, and considered to be something very real, they were really started out as your own illusion. You made them up. You take a tremendous jump on the tone scale. If you learned how the meshed universe got there and could be absolutely certain of it, and be certain of these laws of the meshed universe, you'd take a big jump on the tone scale. There's your certainties, certainties. As long as a human being can deal in certainties, he can deal in decision. If he can deal in decision, he can deal in action. Because the ultimate decision, the fastest decision there is action. And you don't get action with a maybe. Life becomes o'ercast with a pale cast of thought. When we're getting uncertainty and an uncertainty. But it's uncertain, but maybe it is, but maybe it isn't. Maybe it's a delusion, maybe it's not a delusion. Maybe it's real, maybe it's not real. Let's sit down and think about it for a long time, and let's think some more. Then let's all sit down and think some more. But what do you know? We're Homo sapiens. People accuse me once in a while of thinking. I don't think I ever did anything. Truth be told, it makes me mad sometimes to have to deal with thinking as thinking. And actually, it's very depressing to deal with thinking as thinking, because then you're getting around blocks of maybes this way and that way. It's much better to have action. Action is the cream, the essence. Like peace theory is advance. You can achieve action, you will achieve happiness. Now, for instance, a fellow named Krishnamurti has been making an awfully good living. I don't know if Krishnamurti's the right name. He might have come from Brooklyn, but I think it was the Bronx. He's been going around talking about action in present time. If he would just pull all the junk off of that line, and he would just go around and tell people, action through present time. Action in present time. That's all you want. That's all you know. Don't think about memory. Don't think about anything. Just to force them to get into action in present time. If he could do that, if he had enough on the ball, enough on steam, in order to force people into action in present time, there wouldn't be any aberration. If somehow or other you could just dig up enough steam to do this, boy, you got a theory. Action, present time. You find out that you start action in present time and forcing people into action in present time, something else happens. You're starting to locate them in time and space, so you lower their determinism, so they get madder and hell, they get worse. You see how that is? But Krishnamurti was very definitely been driving on a high road, and a very true one. And that is action in present time. It's not a workable therapy, but it's a wonderful concept. And possibly differentiation on the part of Korzybski and action in present time on the part of Krishnamurti, the two of them, formed a platform that if anybody cared to work on it, would have furnished them the rest of the answers. Maybe it couldn't be entered very much from that door. Maybe it had to be entered from another door. But the point is that those are very sound. They're sound. But I'm not telling you to force your pre-clear into action present time, because look what happens. You locate him in space and time, you lower his self-determinism. So it becomes unworkable. Above the strata of action is locate in space and time. Above the strata of force is locate in space and time. That is our cue. Remember, weeks ago I told you we were working from a certain cue. An unknown from here on up. If you get to know it, wonderful. But I can tell you, on investigation, pretty much what lies from there on down. And what lies immediately adjacent to it is prime thought, to be, which means you've decided to place in space and time. And you immediately run into illusion. That's the first one. And by the way, that is the senior certainty. Can you be sure that your illusion is illusion? And if you have certainty that your illusion is illusion, you have the senior certainty. It is more important for a man to know that his illusions are illusions than it is for him to know that the messed universe is real. But we're working with a triangle because we are situated where we are situated. And so his certainty that his is an illusion is right next door to a necessary certainty that it is messed universe, which is sitting next door to the next certainty, which is it delusion? So we're dealing with these things consistently. Now, if you could cause an individual to differentiate between and amongst these three certainties, you have done an enormous job. If you could just cause him, now, by running flows and by handling energy, by running feelings and agreements, run concepts, you see, and get the feelings with the concepts and so forth with regard to these, you will run him into a disentanglement of these identifications and get them out into a state of differentiation. Logic is association of similarities, and outside of the field of logic lies sanity. Logic is a low-order sanity. But when you do talk communication, you drop to this. I covered that last week, if you remember. Now get that. The senior certainty is illusion. Now let me point out another little point. How solid can an illusion be? You should be able, if you were really good, to make an illusion so solid that, as far as you were concerned, when you mocked up this girl, you could reach out your hand and feel the warmth and texture of her skin, hear the sound of her voice, and know she was there in three-dimensional space and in time, just as much as you would know if another human being were standing immediately in front of you. How solid can an illusion be? Now, if we want to go one step beyond that, if we were really good, you could put this girl there so solidly that everybody else would see her and hear her too. Now, that's how good you could be. But you understand that to arrive at that state, you don't do it by automatic responses. And you don't do it by addressing all motion all the time. You've got to realize that your process of being able to act is practically instantaneous. You can have thousands of years of time in somebody else's second. You can build yourself this person if you want to. But you would have to build the person and know that you build every part of the person. That every portion of this being was an illusion. Your own making and command, and be perfectly willing to accept from there on the responsibility for this person's actions and everything this person did. In other words, keep continual, direct, conscious contact with this thing that you mocked up. Now there's a lot in therapy in that. There's a lot of illusion processing in that. What are you heading toward in illusion processing? Not just setting up a lot of automatic mechanisms that run off by themselves quite happily and dazedly. No. You want to get specific things. All motion, no motion. You want to get all the perceptions in there and a certainty of it. Now, you'll find one of the highest things that you can run in anybody is you can't be original. Because that's the way they killed him. You can't be original. Everything which you dream of has to be something which you saw before. We'll keep all illusion on a stimulus response mechanism, not on an actual mechanism. If you want to run somatics on anybody, you just take this formula for the running of illusions and you'll get some of the fanciest somatics you ever heard of. Because what you're running is going directly counter to everything which everybody else has been making, which is say, don't you dare make an illusion. No, no, not you. Me, I'm going to make the illusion. You're not. That's the attitude everybody has had toward him. They say, we can handle force and make force, but you can't. Now, you want to know why this universe is an expanding universe? It is an expanding universe. It has a horrible factor in it. I'll just go on rapidly to this next level here. I beg your pardon. Let me interject this as part of that. Resentment of being placed elsewhere as a person. Resentment of being placed elsewhere as a person is an awfully good little item to run. You hate to be placed here and placed there as a person. And so on, you'll find a guy is resisting that so hard that he's holding himself in his head. And here's a little joke for you. Lies on the track. This identification exists in most people. Houses equal heads. You just solved the case, Gene. Houses equal heads. Think about it. What case do we know that can't go out of a house? Well, she's got it so reversed that she can go out of a head and not out of a house. Houses equal heads. How many poems can you think of offhand to tell you about houses that have eyes and so forth? Houses equal heads. You'll find that present in most people. They want to be in the house. And this is all mixed up with them.
In and out of it.
Huh?
You know,
what?
Does it mean that if they don't have the house, they're still in and out of head?
No. Hey, did we just run into...
I've run there, and I don't like that.
Oh, and does she still resist it? Well, it can't be the same. It can't be the right computation. Well, that's all right. We'll get this. Resentment of being placed. Now, let's go into another part of that. Just continuing on that same computation. What about a dead? A dead in which the person places other people. Now, I start talking about bodies in pawn a little while here, no? Okay. Bodies in pawn. What if you took... Well, how would you feel, Richard, if you took this charming young lady and you said, I want to get even with that fellow in New York, or something of the sort. And you took this young lady and you said, all right, now get out of your head and I'll go to New York. He's in a somewhat comatose state. Go to New York and knock this fellow off or do something to him. And she ran into something and it gave her a terrific emotional shock and the body which sat right there in front of you died. Would it make you feel like you'd done an overt act? It would, wouldn't it? Well, what do you know? What do you know? Practically any five has indulged in this activity. Somewhere on the track, he's been shooting people around from here to there, and they've gotten into trouble, so forth. And you'll quite often find that the person on whom he is the sweetest, that is to say, the one... The being, the type of being, a young boy, or a young girl, or an older man, or something. This kind of being on which he most easily fixates will be the kind of being that became destroyed because this fellow sent them out of their heads. Now, that's why, one of the reasons why, a five sometimes gets a little bit nervous in processing fate clearing. Because they're afraid this is going to happen again. And they're very alert to it, and they're very nervous about the whole thing. They get quite nervous about it. And the truth is told that they would get a terrible shock if a pre-clear suddenly did a bunk on them and had to be persuaded to come back, and the body just lay there inertly. Just bong. You say, all right, step a foot back of your head. No! Gone. There's the body. You sort of say, speak to me, speak to me. You're just talking to clay. This body's done a bunk. I mean, the pre-clear's gone. The pre-clear said, oh boy, I'd forgotten I could do this. And you say, move your fingers. Nothing happens. Move your head. Do something. Well, they won't do anything if you get nervous about it. But it's an awful shock. Awful shock. And it happens every few cases. Pre-clear, if you were in communication with the Thetan, the pre-clear probably is passing Arcturus right at that moment. The thing to do is keep talking about responsibilities here on Earth. And they all of a sudden will say, yeah. And they'll give you your attention enough and you say, move your right hand then. Move it some more. Move it some more. You say, oh boy, what do you know? You finally get them back in. They'll be in a shocky state after they get back in. They said, but I had to come back. I couldn't leave, but sure would like to have kept going. Now, this is the dead-dead-ex combination, which holds some people in their heads. They just sent enough people out of their heads. And another one is this resentment at being placed. Some people, some fives, are being monitored very heavily from some place or other, and they're afraid that at any moment they're going to be ordered out and sent elsewhere. And they're very nervous about it. And if you run them on an e-meter, you ask them, are you trying to get out? And you'll get no reaction. Are you trying to hold yourself in? And boy, you get a big reaction. Because they actually are. They're trying to hold themselves in with might and main, even though they think they're trying to get out. When what? Yeah. Yeah, probably not. All right. Now get that mechanism. Get that mechanism about getting out of the head. Okay. And we've covered some communication here. We've covered some other things. And I'm going to call something forcefully to your attention, very forcefully, and that is force. Force. I talked to you about acting. Will act, won't act. The sanity of the PC is proportional to his ability to act. Now, let's understand that force and energy are the same thing. We're talking about the same thing we talk about, force, energy. And delusion, illusion, and messed universe are alike energy. In all three of these classifications, then we're dealing with energy, aren't we? And we're dealing with any kind of force of any kind, we're dealing with energy, aren't we? Now we're talking about placing in space and time. We're talking about the placing of space and time of energy, aren't we? And we're talking about these three categories then, each one of them, we're talking about energy. We're talking then about force and energy. And if we're talking about force and energy in all three classes, then this triangle of illusion, delusion, and reality has a common denominator to the triangle, doesn't it? And that common denominator is force. Common denominator of the triangle is force. Communication via the mess body is an avoidance of force. It's registering on the facsimile, and then you read the facsimile. Little lag, just a little bit late. All right, so if energy is force, if the preclear won't employ or detest force of any kind, he cannot handle energy. It requires a self-made force to create illusion, and the disposal of force to destroy one. You have to be able to handle force to destroy force. If the preclear can't handle force, he can't handle illusion or delusion or mesh universe reality. He just can't handle those things. Now, theta perception is a self-made force, and mesh perception is continuous receipt, a one-way flow of force going in and registering on energy, which is then read. So the mess universe perception keeps making facsimiles. Bop it, bop it, bop it, bop it, bop it. And your cute little Thetan keeps on creating force for that mess universe energy to hit on. And it's a one-way flow. Incoming. Perception, mess universe-wise, is a one-way flow. Incoming, which makes a facsimile. So that's a one-way flow, so on. Again, if you have no force, you have no perception. No force is no perception. The PC is held in his head by messed body impulses and by his own manufacture of energy and by the delusions of others which register on him as energy, and they're real energy. You're used to thinking of delusions not being there, you see. And the joke is it's there. And the messed universe is putting out emanating waves, and they're there. So these things in combination put enough energy, wads of energy, around the PC so that it practically packs him in. So whether you're dealing with illusion, delusion, or messed universe reality, you are dealing with energy, which is itself force. Which is force. Now, if a man will act, a man will handle force. If a man won't act, he won't handle force. If a man won't handle force, he won't handle illusion, delusion, or messed universe reality. He'll think about it. And that's the state some of these pre-clears are in. Now, if your pre-clear's theta impulse and ability to create force is low, the messed energy in the head and the other energies in the head are sufficient to hold him in. They're sufficient to hold him in if his ability to create force and destroy force is low. If his ability to handle the force created by others is low. If his ability to handle messed universe force is low. You get the same thing in each case. The energy in the head, the three kinds of energy, the energy of illusion, delusion, messed universe, will hold him in his head. Now you rehabilitate his, here's the therapy on this. You rehabilitate his willingness to employ extremes of force to locate in space and time against or with anything, and perception will increase. You don't have to have all those words. It's just he's got to be completely willing to employ or destroy anything, illusion, delusion, or messed universe with force. If he's unwilling to, there he's going to be in bad shape. Now get this, running of engrams is destruction of force. Running of an engram is a destruction of force. And if one cannot destroy, if he's unwilling to destroy anything, he'll have difficulty with running engrams. The reason why this is an expanding universe is because you have a silly law called the conservation of energy. Even though you destroy something, it's still there. That's the gag, you see. Conservation of energy. Now, the funny part of it is you as a Thetan can create force and energy. Of course, it's an expanding universe. But there's plenty of space. Let's not worry just because you have to convert it in some fashion or other. You actually can jump that law as a theta-wise. Now let me draw you a graph which should be quite useful to you. And this graph is the impulses of man. Create, destroy. And here we have the graph here, all the dynamics, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, all the dynamics here, all the dynamics here, and 1 to 8, all the dynamics here. Now what do you know? We have here something that would make most people shudder. The impulses of man are to create and to destroy. If a man creates continually and only, it leads to insanity. If he can only create, he will eventually become insane. The reason why he never destroys what he creates. So he never is able to cope with what he creates. Because he creates something and then he can't possibly destroy it. Or handle it. Or put it away. Or anything. He just got to create and create and create and create. And it's like that silly salt manufacturing machine that they talk about in the legends in Holland, which gets into the ocean and is still running. It fills up, of course, the whole universe. And it certainly fills up the whole skull with energy, 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 energy. Okay? Now, destruction, total destruction. Nothing but destroy, destroy, destroy is insanity. Now, this is a more recognizable form of insanity, and the less recognizable form is create insanity. This is considered to be good, and this destruction insanity is considered to be bad. This because this drives a man quietly crazy, and this drives a man destruction is goes crazy noisily. and people don't like noise or something with their motion. So this is supposed to be moral or immoral. This is supposed to be moral. Actually, there is no real differentiation between the two beyond they are the two sides of the same coin. The two sides of the same coin, and the name of the coin is force. Now, we get proceeding down from created insanity, all dynamics, from sanity, all dynamics, from insanity, all dynamics, and where is he unwilling to create? Where is he unwilling to destroy? And there you will find where he's unwilling to act, and there you will find why he can't handle that energy, and why he's still in his head. Very simple formula. Worked it out for you with my own little hatchet. You can't spring him with this one. Use a hatchet. Now you make this up as an action graph, and you use this graph in processing. It's an action graph. I'll take this apart just a little bit more.